Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Come on, let's give Jesus a praise one more time. Father, we praise you. Worthy is your name. Holy is your name. Amen. We love you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning, Enjoy Church. I'm working on my Australian accent. That's all I got. Church. Amen. It's good to see you this morning. It's such an honor to be here. You know, Pastor Shane and Georgie are incredible leaders. I mean, you have some of the best pastors in the entire world. Leaders, people who love people, who want to make a difference for the kingdom. And it is an honor to be with you today. I want to real quick just introduce myself. I'm from, as Pastor Shane said, California. Let me show you a quick picture of my family. This is my wife, Devette, my four kids, Macy, Haley, Tanner, and Hudson. And we really are honored to be with you today. And I'm excited to share something with you today. I want to talk to you a little bit about expectation. But I like to start with something funny, so I'm going to tell a little story about an atheist who was walking through the woods. He was looking at the beauty all around him, and suddenly a bear jumps out of the woods and starts chasing him. Now, do you have bears here in Australia? No, not really? Okay. Just the koala kind, huh? All right. Well, in California, we have big brown bears. So this big brown bear is chasing this atheist. He's running, and suddenly he trips and falls. And as he falls to the ground backwards, the bear comes over the top of him, raises its claw, and without realizing it, the atheist shouts out, "God, save me!" Everything freezes. He hears a voice from heaven that says, "All of these years you denied that I exist, and now at the last moment, when you're about to die, you're asking me to make you a Christian." The atheist said, "You know, you got a good point, God. Could you at least make the bear a Christian?" And suddenly, everything unfreezes. The bear puts its claw down. The atheist kind of breathes a sigh of relief. And then the bear puts its paws together and says, "Dear Lord, bless this food that I'm about to receive. In Jesus' name, amen." So now the atheist had some expectation, and it was different than what actually happened. And you know what? In life, you and I have expectation. What you may not know is the Bible tells us in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, live with great expectation. The question is, what are you expecting? The word expectation here is a word which means hope. It also can mean faith, but it really is a confident anticipation. Here's the question. What are you anticipating? What are you expecting? Are you waiting for the other shoe to drop? Some people live life waiting for that phone call to come in with that diagnosis, waiting to find out what they thought was going on in their family really is going on in their family. They're living waiting for the bad news to come. But I believe that God doesn't want us to live in fear. I believe God wants us to live like David says. He says this, "I am confident in this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." How many want to live a life of faith, of expectation, to believe that God can do exceedingly abundantly above what you ask, dream, or imagine? How many say amen to that? So today I want to talk to you, and I want to use a story in the Bible about Abraham and how Abraham lived a life of faith. He was the father of faith, and I want to use a story that, I'll be honest with you, as a parent, how many parents do we have in the house today? All right. Come on, as a parent, if you've ever read this story, you've heard this story, it probably just didn't feel right. It's the story where God tells Abraham, "I want you to take your son, your only son, up to the top of a mountain and sacrifice him." And so let me just say, we're going to dive into this story, but if you've had trouble understanding this story or struggling with it, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Just set it aside. When you get to heaven, you can talk to God about it. But right now, we're going to take a look at this passage, and we're going to learn how to live a life of expectation. Because I believe that God wants us to live a life expecting to see his goodness in our homes, in our families, in our lives. How many say amen to that? Amen. So I want you to do this. If you have a Bible, turn with me. If you don't, you can look on the screens, use your phone. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 22. What a joy to be here. I've been excited to come to Enjoy Church. I've heard so much about it over the years. We've had Pastor Shane at our church at Higher Vision. Let me just say, if you're ever in California and you come to see Magic Mountain, you come and see us, Higher Vision Church. We're right across the street. And we'd love to have you if you're ever in Los Angeles. I want to give you a verse, and here's where God speaks to Abraham. If you have a Bible, follow along. Here's what it says in Genesis 22. So sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. In fact, I want to do this. I want everybody to stand up real quick, and I want you to all read it with me. Can we do that? We're going to honor the reading of God's word. Let's all read it together. Ready, everybody? Here we go. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Take your son and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. I want you to do something. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you right now, in your own way, to lean into God. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We ask that you would release your presence, your power, and your truth. Because when we know truth, it sets us free. Lord, I'm declaring over this place today that this revelation is going to change the trajectory of our lives, Lord, and that we're going to see some things that we never thought we would see, because, Lord, we're going to live with expectation. Lord, speak through this message, speak and anoint our hearts to receive it, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. So I want to give you four thoughts. If you're going to live a life of expectation, four thoughts. Number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. If you want to be a person of faith, of expectation, number one, expect there will be some tests. Well, wait a minute, Pastor Jared. I thought when you get saved, you know, everything goes right and you have no problems because you're a Christian. Come on, any Christians know that you still have problems. In fact, Jesus said, in this world you'll have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. Here's what happens. God gives him a promise, and then he takes him through a test. God will give us problems, but sometimes, I'm sorry, God will give us promises, but sometimes we'll experience problems and we'll walk through tests. The Bible says that God tested Abraham, not the devil. God tested Abraham's faith. And I got to tell you, when you go through a test, like Abraham, he could have said, like many of us often say, this is stupid. Why do I have, how many of you, when you're in school, on test day, you're like, why do I have to take this test? What is this going to really do to help me out in life? Come on, have you ever learned some stuff? You're like, what is a quotient? Why do I need to know what a quotient is? It's interesting. Kids don't like tests. We don't like tests. But let's flip it around for a minute. At the same time, we don't like to buy a product that hasn't been tested. You don't want to buy a car if they haven't tested the brakes. You don't want to buy a car if they haven't tested the airbags. You don't want to buy a car if they haven't tested the seatbelts. Why? Because if it hasn't been tested, it can't be trusted. And so sometimes, rather than cursing the test, we need to embrace the test and say, okay, God, if you have a test for me, I know that all things that come from heaven are good. And so, Lord, all things work together for the good. So, Lord, if I need to go through a test, then I'm willing to walk through the test if that's part of my journey. Let me tell you why we need to walk through a test. Let's go to the end of the story for a minute. I want to get to Genesis chapter 22, because he walks through the test, he passes the test, and what does the Bible say? It says this. God speaks to him and says in Genesis 22, 16, it says, because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly, what's the next two words? Bless you. Come on, anybody like to be blessed? He says, I will bless you. He says this, I will certainly bless you, and I will multiply your descendants. And then I want you to underline this next part if you have a Bible. He says, your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies, and all the nations of the world will be blessed. Let me just say this. He's heard this promise or this blessing before, except one part. The part that says, I'm going to cause your descendants to conquer the cities of their enemies. The point is that when he went through the test, his blessing went to another level. Because your blessing just might be on the other side of your testing. And so many times we don't want to take the test, but we don't realize that God isn't torturing. He's not testing you to torture you. God is testing you to teach you how to get to the next level. See, the reality is that when we go to school, we have to pass the test to go to the next grade. And sometimes We have to learn through the process of testing because God is trying to teach us how to reach another level that we couldn't reach without the test. The reality is this: how could Abraham be the father of many nations if he couldn't be the father of one boy? And how can we walk in great generosity if we can't be faithful with a tithe when we don't make much at all? You see, I believe what God's trying to teach you and what he's trying to teach me is that your blessing is on the other side of your testing. You know, it reminds me of a story. I had a family come by my house the other day, and we were giving some furniture to some people in the church. And so a family came by with a truck and started loading up the furniture. And as we're having a conversation, I didn't know this family real well, but they said, "Hey, Pastor, did you hear the good news?" I'm like, "No, I didn't hear the good news." And they said, "Well, you may not know our story, but let me tell you our story." They said, "You know, we started attending Higher Vision Church 3 years ago. And man, we loved it. We fell in love with the church. God began working in our lives. And then you started teaching this series, not called God First, but a series on giving." It was a different series and similar to what probably your pastor just taught. And they said, "But what you didn't know is that when we made our commitment to start trusting God by giving the tithe, here's what you didn't know, Pastor, we were homeless. We were living in our car, and we had a couple kids, and we literally would stay with family or friends to get showers, and we'd be in our car for some of the time, and yet in the middle of being in the middle of this test, because we'd had some bad stewardship, we'd lost a job and got a different job and made less. And so all of the reasons everybody told you, no, you don't have to give to God first when you don't have much. You don't have to give to God first when you're homeless because that disqualifies the tithe. But instead, we grabbed a hold of the truth and we decided we were going to walk through the test. And so we started tithing while we were living in our car. But here's the cool thing, Pastor, and that is over 3 years, guess what? My husband got a better job and then I got a better job, and then suddenly we started being better stewards of our resources. And guess what? We just moved into a brand new home. We didn't have good credit. We didn't have a down payment. We didn't have money for the closing costs. But God did a miracle, and now we own our own home, and we just moved in because the blessing might be on the other side of your testing. Come on, somebody say amen. What might God be wanting to do in your life on the other side of your test? Listen, if you're going to be a person of faith, expect there will be some tests. Come on, y'all with me, say amen. So let's go on to the second part. Let's go to Genesis chapter 22. So God speaks to him, and here's what he says. He says, "Take your son up the mountain." What does he say? "Sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you." If you have a pen or whatever or a highlighter, highlight that part, "which I will show you." This is a part of the story that we often miss when we read the story of Abraham. And then he goes on to say, the next morning, Abraham got up early, set out for the place where God had told him about, and on the third day, everybody say the third day. Let's try it again. Come on, I want to hear some of that Australian from me, Australian accent. Somebody say the third day. I don't know how you say it, but come on. Yeah, come on. Feeling it now. The third day, it says, of their journey, Abraham looked up, and he saw the place in the distance. So here's point number one. Expect there will be some tests. Here's point number two. You ready? Expect silence during the test. Expect silence during the test. It's interesting because here's the part of the story we don't focus on, and that is that when God calls him to take a test, he says, "Now go to the mountain, I will show you." In other words, take off, and when you get there, I'll let you know. He didn't even know where he was going. Think about it. Walking for 3 days, not even knowing if he's headed in the right direction. Come on, anybody felt like that's the way your life was? And God is nowhere. God's not speaking. And you know what he could have done? He could have done what a lot of us would do. He's like, "You know what? I'm not taking another step until you tell me where I'm supposed to go. I'm not going to take another step. I'm not going to serve another minute. I'm not going to give another dime until you make it all clear to me." And yet God doesn't say anything. For 3 days, he didn't demand an answer and stop. Because let me just give you a thought. Listen, sometimes not only God tells us that we're going to go through tests, but sometimes we go through silence in the middle of the test. And here's simple. It's simple. Ready? It's profound, but it's simple. Here's why. Because the teacher never talks in the middle of the test. Because if the teacher talks and answers your question, how many know it's not a real test? It's a practice test. Sometimes God goes quiet. And what happens is when God goes quiet, when God quits talking, what do? We stop walking. Well, God, I love you. God, I thank you. You saved me. God, I'm trusting you. And then suddenly he goes quiet and we go through a sickness, or he goes quiet because we didn't get as many hours as we got last week, or we go through a trial because someone talked about us. And the next thing you know, we're like, well, God isn't talking, so I'm going to quit walking. And one of the things God is trying to teach us, I think, through this story is that the key to his promises and his blessings in our life is that even in the season when he's not talking, we have to keep walking. That we don't stop in the middle of our test. We don't quit in the middle of our test. You see, Abraham knew this principle. For 3 days he walked, not even knowing if he was going in the right direction. Why? Because he knew the dangers of stopping in the middle of his test. Let me tell you an example. You see, in his past, he'd seen what happens when you quit walking when God isn't talking. Some of you may not know this, but actually, Abraham wasn't the original person called from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. Actually, his father, if you read it in the scriptures, his father left that area to go to the land of Canaan, but watch what happens. He stops in a town called Haran, and he settles there. And he never makes it to the place that I believe, personally, was where God called his family to go. He stopped in the middle. And here's the interesting thing that most people don't know. If you read through the story of Genesis, the Bible actually tells us in the book of Genesis that he had another son besides Abraham. And guess what his name was? Haran. And guess what happened to Haran? He died. Isn't it interesting? In the middle of his journey of faith, he stopped in Haran, the place of his pain, and he never went any farther. And how many of us are missing God's promises, are missing God's blessings because we stopped walking when God wasn't talking? We stopped walking when we went through a trial. We stopped walking when we went through some pain. We stopped believing. We stopped giving when we went through a trial. We stopped worshiping when someone talked about us. We stopped praising when we suddenly got a diagnosis where we're sick. And we quit walking. But let me just say, just because he isn't talking doesn't mean that God isn't working. You see, I personally believe that the reason that God wanted him to walk for 3 days, this is my belief, is that there was a ram that God was going to bring to bless him, but the ram was 3 days away. See, I don't think God just poof and put a ram on the top of the mountain. I think there was a ram that had a 3 days journey to get to that mountain. So God said, I'm going to send you for 3 days because while you're walking, I'm going to be working behind the scenes to put in place the things you need to step into my promise for your life. So when you go through a trial, when you're building your faith, here's the thing, expect silence sometimes during the middle of your test. But just because he's not talking. Some of you, you're struggling in your marriage. Some of you are struggling financially. Some are trying to figure things out with your business. Maybe something's going on with your children. But just because God is quiet and he's not talking doesn't mean that he's not working. Could it be that there's a ram on the way? Come on, somebody. Expect there will be some tests. Expect silence during the test. And let me give you another thought. Let's go to Genesis a little bit farther in the story. So they finally go for their journey. 3 days later, they end up at the mountain. God says, this is the mountain. I want you to go up. When they get there, what happens? Suddenly, the Bible says in Genesis 22, now remember, they had carried, if you've read the story, Abraham had gotten the wood and the fire, and he had a donkey, and he brought some servants, and he brought his son, and they're on this journey. They end up at the bottom of the mountain, and now watch what Abraham says. Here's what he says. He tells his servants, stay here with the donkey. Sorry, flashing back to little Shrek right there. Stay here with the donkey, Abraham told the servants. The boy and I, not you guys, just the boy and I will travel a little farther and we will worship there and then we will come right back. You know, as I was reading that part of the story and I began to see these principles, I began to meditate on it and I began to say, God, why was it that he left the servants at the bottom of the hill and he went up with his son alone? And here's the third thing that God showed me about your test. You ready? Expectation. Number three, write this down. Expect to leave some behind. Sometimes to get where you need to get to, you have to let go of some things. You have to leave some things, some people behind you. Now, I asked myself the question, why did he leave them behind? And one thing that came to my mind was maybe he left them behind because he knew that they would try to talk him out of doing what God had called him to do. Come on, there's some truth right there. Can we sit there for a second? Maybe the key for you to step into another level, to reach another plane, to experience God's best is that you need to distance yourself from the voices who will tell you that you don't have to do that, that that's not God's plan. The voices that won't have faith, the voices that will speak negative rather than expectation and faith. Because here's the reality, some people aren't called to go to the place God's called you to. You see, Abraham knew that sometimes you have to leave people behind because he'd learned the lesson. You see, in the beginning of his journey, when he left Ur of the Chaldeans, what happened? God spoke to him in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, and he said, I'm calling you to a land, and when you go to your land, here's what he said. He said, leave your relatives and your father's family and go to the land I've called you to. But when he left, he didn't do that. He took someone with him by the name of Lot. And you know what's interesting? Lot, his name, it means a covering, but it's from a root word which means to wrap up. Here's what's interesting. Lot goes with him, and what happens? He ends up starting to have conflict between his workers and family and Lot's family and their workers, and watch what happens. He ends up having to give away a piece of the inheritance that God had given him to try to solve the problem because he had the wrong people on the journey that God had called him to. And how many people have now given away promises and blessings? They've carved up things that God had planned for them, not because they don't love God, not because they're not people of faith and will take a step and go after it, but because they brought the wrong people on the journey. And you know what's interesting? If you read the story, God spoke to him when he said, I want you to leave. And then God never speaks to him again until eventually when Lot moves on. In fact, maybe some of us, we can't hear the voice of God, not because we're in the middle of the test, but because we got the wrong company. Because we can't hear his voice anymore because all we hear are the voices of, hey, you can't do that. Who do you think you are? God isn't going to be able to. And the next thing you know, the voice of God is drowned out. Because we have the wrong people on the journey. Now, let me just stop and say, I'm not saying you need to leave the service today and go start unfriending people on Facebook. Don't start blocking people when you leave the service. But can I just say, for good to begin, bad must end. You see, there's a powerful truth here that we miss sometimes. Again, I'm not saying you're not supposed to be friends with people. My point is, who is speaking into your life? Who's carrying you forward? Who's helping you walk out God's promises? Because listen, when you get the right people in the right place for the right reason, guess what? The right things will happen. And the problem is, so many of us, we just invite everyone into our journey to speak into our life. And the next thing you know, we've got the Lot who's getting us all wrapped up in stuff that God never intended for us to be wrapped up in. And then we never reach our destination. We can't even hear the voice of God anymore. Let me show you a great verse. It's found in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. It says, blessed. Come on, somebody say blessed. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Notice when you get the wrong people in your life, you go from walking to standing to sitting. I've seen so many people that have stopped in their journey, not because they don't love God, but because they got the wrong people pulling them down. It goes on to say this. It says, he, when you get the right people, says he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and whatever he does will prosper. Come on, how many want to prosper? What does this scripture mean? In Jared's translation, it means this. It means blessed and prosperous people keep the right company. I'll never forget when we were planting Higher Vision Church. We just turned 14 years this last Easter. We moved into a city, didn't know anyone, kind of parachuted in, didn't have a friend, didn't have an enemy, didn't have a frenemy. We didn't have any of it. We started the church and God began to bless. And our first service, we had about 16 people and the church began to grow and God began to do some amazing things. We've seen over 41,000 people raise their hand and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior over the last 14 years. It's been an incredible journey, but you know, when we first started, when we came, we had some people that came with us, about 15 people. And I'll never forget, there was this one family that they were involved in the children's ministry at the church that we were all at the time. And they just were gifted with kids. And as we began to talk, I said, man, you guys would be incredible children's pastor. Would you come and be our children's pastor? And like, yeah, we're in. We want to do it. And so we were all excited. We had a team coming together. We had worship. We had children's. We had so many different areas. And then right before we left to go to Valencia, they called us and said, hey, man, I'm sorry, but last minute, some things have changed and we can't go. Man, I was devastated because I thought that would have been amazing. And so we went to Valencia and we started the church and things began to go and God blessed us with someone else to fill that role. And then 6 months after we'd been there, as the church is growing, we find out that this family was getting divorced. And the whole time there had been an affair going on and for the same sex. So one of the partners had went out and stepped out on, and the daughter ended up on drugs. I mean, the family imploded. And I often thought, what would have happened to Higher Vision Church if we had started our children's ministry, a church that's all about family, and 6 months in, everything would have exploded and imploded. Aren't you glad sometimes God leaves some people behind? Come on. Now, we're believing and we thank God that he's brought restoration and a lot of things in that family, but my point is that sometimes God says you need the right people on the journey. Because if you bring the wrong people, you're going to end up standing and sitting and going nowhere and not reaching your destination. Expect tests. Expect silence during the test. Expect to leave some behind. And I want to give you the last thought. Y'all still with me? Say amen. The last point is this, and if you go to Genesis chapter 22, let me set it up for you. They get to the mountain, and as they get to the mountain, Abraham hands the wood to his son. And so his son now is carrying the wood up the mountain. Abraham is carrying the fire. They're walking up the mountain, and his son Isaac is like, Dad, there's you, and there's me, and there's the wood, and there's the fire, but where's the sacrifice? He's kind of starting to put two and two together. I mean, I love my dad, but things are getting a little weird. He's like, Dad, what's going on? And I want you to see what Abraham says. Because in Genesis 22, here's what he goes on to say. He says, say those three words with me. Ready? God will provide. Let's say it again. Come on, everybody. God will provide. For a sheep for the burnt offering, my son, Abraham answered. And they both walked on together. The Bible says that when they got to the place, they set up the leave that scripture up for a minute. They set up the wood. They ended up putting his son on the fire or on the wood. And then he grabs the knife, lifts it into the air. And as he lifts it into the air, about to kill his own son. Again, you can have a conversation with God about this a little later, but I'm going to bring some insight here if you'll hang on. But when he finally got through the test, when he finally walked through the process and he got the knife in the air, watch what it says. It says, then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. I'm going to give you the last thought. And that's simply this. Expect God will provide. Expect God will provide. Now, there's two questions I ask when I hear this part of the story. First question is this. It's like, how could he expect that God was going to provide? I mean, they're in the middle of nowhere. There are no animals. He's got his son. He's got the wood. How could he expect that? Well, let me just give you a thought. I think the reason, this is my own belief, but if you go to Hebrews 11, verse 6, here's what it tells us about faith, because it lists Abraham as a man of faith, a man of expectation. Look what it says faith is. It says, and without faith, it's impossible to please God, and it defines faith, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. Let me stop right there. How many know we usually got that part? It says, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, what we focus on in more charismatic settings is, well, you believe in God, and you believe that he listens to and he rewards you. And so we think, well, if we pray the right prayers, if we're a good enough person, if we quote the right verses, and we believe that God answers, then he's going to answer our request. But when we read this verse, we miss the meaning of it, I believe, because when you read the verse, here's what it tells us about faith. It says that what faith is believing in God, that he rewards who? People who have earnestly sought him. In other words, when you know him, you can trust him. So Abraham had faith because he knew. And here's what I believe he was saying as he's talking to his son. God, he'll provide. Listen, I know my friend. What was Abraham? He was called the friend of God. I know my friend, and my friend wouldn't lie to me. He said that through my seed, you, the world would be blessed. So listen, when we get up there, God's going to do it somehow. Even the Bible says in the New Testament that if he has to raise you from the dead, he'll raise you from the dead because I know my friend. I can trust my friend. Here's what I want to say. If you want to build your faith, don't just quote verses. Don't just take classes. Get into his presence, because when you know him, you will be able to trust him. Somebody say amen. How could he know it? Because he knew his friend. Here's the second question. Second question is this, and we're going to wrap this up. We're going to put a bow on this. We're going to land this plane, so hang on. Why did he wait until the knife was in the air? Why did he wait till that moment, that position, that place? Because it was when he lifted the knife that he saw the promise. Come on, let me know. We've heard the phrase, God's never late. How many go, it sure doesn't feel like it? Come on, let me be honest. He's right on time. But he sure feels like he's late sometimes. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on, we got some honest people in the house today. Why did he wait till the very end? Here's why. Because God plays chess and the devil plays checkers. I'll explain it this way. You see, the Bible says in Isaiah that God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And here's the thing. God had a plan. You see, what scholars believe, and this is the part of the story that I want to help you understand today. Because we look at this story and we're like, God, why would you do that? How could you ask that? But here's what we need to know. Most scholars believe that this mountain that Abraham was on was the exact same mountain that 4,000 years later, Jesus, the Son of God, was on. Now think about it for a minute. God says, I want you to sacrifice your son. And what he was really doing prophetically, he was positioning things as the master chess player so that, you'll see in a minute, that we could understand. Because here's what he knew. 4,000 years later, there was going to be a son carries some wood up a mountain. And he was going to get up on the wood. And he was going to be raised as a sacrifice. But here's the thing with God. The Bible says, in fact, the Bible says when we read the passage that, in fact, can we bring that verse up? The one that says that, I think I jumped to because the one before that, before the point. So he took the ram, sacrificed it in the place of his son. Abraham named that place Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will, what's the last word? Do you know what the word provide means? It means to provide, but it means to see. You see, what God was doing is he was preparing things so that 2,000 or 4,000 years later, he wasn't just going to provide the sacrifice for one son, for one moment, for one sin, for one family. He knew that if we would just go through his test, if Abraham would just go through the test, that he was going to see something different, that God was playing the pieces on the chessboard, that one day that he wouldn't just provide for the sins of one man, he'd provide for the sins of your family and your family and your family and your children and your spouse and your mom and your grandmother and your grandmother. God is the Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides for all men for all time, because our God knows how to provide. You see, God wasn't expecting him to do anything that he wasn't going to do himself. How could God ask him? Because he said, you're not going to have to do it because I will. So many of us, we go through our trials and our tests. How many ever seen that the old movie Karate Kid? Come on, y'all know Mr. Miyagi. He's like, Danielson. He's like, I want to fight. And he's like, okay, here's the paintbrush. Paint the fence. Come on, everybody know what I'm talking about. And he gets frustrated. Why am I painting the fence? I want to fight. And he's like, okay, come with me. Wash the car, wax on. Come on, everybody say wax on. Wax off. He's going through the painting of the fence, the waxing on and the waxing off. And finally, he comes in frustration. He says, that's about enough, Mr. Miyagi. I'm ready to fight. And he goes, oh, you're ready to fight? And suddenly, he's like, phew. He makes the punch. And suddenly, he's like, wax on. And he blocks it. He's like, whoa, like that. He's like, paint the fence. Because you see, the whole time that he thought he was just being tested, he was actually being prepared to fulfill what he had desired. Some of you are going through your trial right now and you're struggling physically. And you're like, God, why? God says, just paint the fence. But my son, he's not serving the Lord, which that's my story right now. I have a son who's a prodigal out on the street right now. And sometimes I go, God, what are you doing? But what I don't realize is that I'm just waxing on. And I'm waxing off. And what I don't see is that God is moving the pieces on the chessboard so that there will come a moment where my eyes, you see, do you realize that the Bible says that Jesus tells us in the New Testament that when he lifted the knife, he said this, he said, he saw me coming. Abraham saw the fulfillment of the greater work of God. And there's going to come a moment. I want to declare in the name of Jesus. I'm speaking prophetically over some people. In fact, just close your eyes and lift your hands for a minute. There's some people right now that you have your eyes closed. You've been struggling. You've been walking. You've been painting. You've been waxing. But what God is getting ready to do, if you will not quit, what does the scripture say? Be not weary in doing good, for in due season you will reap if you don't faint or give up. Some of you, I declare, eyes are getting ready to open. People are going to start to see God coming. Start to see God's purpose. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And all things do work together for the good to them who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Too many people have hung up the phone. Too many people have quit walking. Too many people have quit trusting. Too many people have quit giving. Too many people have quit praying. Too many people have quit serving. I'm telling you in Jesus' name, start being faithful again. Start praying again. Start believing again. Start giving again. Start walking again. Start trusting again. And eyes are going to start to open. Rams are going to start showing up. Miracles are going to start being released. I declare it over you right now in the name of Jesus. God will provide. Jehovah Jireh. You're going to see him. You're going to see him. You're going to see him.